I just found out that that Grand Theft Auto began life as a Dreamcast prototype, and that's one of those fix the Sega timeline situations.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
More ammo for us. Good to stock that back in. I've got a little bit of a short one planned because I thought there was a time constraint, but I might pad it.
Yeah, the time constraint changed. So.
All right.
Changed to what?
4 p.m. I have to do some kind of virtual escape room with the company I'm contracting for.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. No. I'm only doing it because I'm like hoping that I can weasel my way into getting something more ongoing.
There's usually a really easy way to get out of a virtual escape room, which is
you just turn it off.
Turn the computer off.
Yeah, it's an easy out.
That's how I solved Maniac Mansion when I was a kid. I got freaked out and turned the computer off.
Maniac Mansion sucks.
So many 90s VR, trapped in VR movies. And it's like, oh, just turn it off, buddy.
Wow, you would have solved Sword Art Online in like the first episode. Just like, just take the fucking helmet off.
But then you die in real life.
You do die in real life and then you don't get to do that whole weird chapter.
Yeah.
That we don't talk about.
All right. Should I start the show?
Why not?
Let's do it.
I'm completing my Twitter scroll down just in the background because not focusing on it seems like the right way to do it. And I'm seeing that Stephen Totilo is launching a newsletter, his own subscription website.
I have to tell you that there is a very funny aspect of this newsletter. If you click through and see his pricing tiers.
Oh, I already did. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm looking at him right now, Carl.
The best aspect of the pricing tiers for me is that if you pay, you receive certain benefits. And one of the ones that you do not receive, if you don't pay, in the free tier, you do not receive
his gratitude.
His thanks and gratitude.
Well, I mean...
No, it's totally...
Well, it's
totally
his gratitude for allowing him to make a living doing this,
absolutely.
It says.
No, it makes sense. It's
well,
just
the,
a really
the funniest
funny thing
part of
to
this,
cross
the funniest
out.
Part, Brandon, is not any of what you just said. It's
no,
the
it
fact
isn't.
That I just sent him a DM on Twitter saying, I'd like a founding member membership for free, please. So
that's
funniest part here. Yeah, I'd like a founding membership for free. Stephen Totilo, who is a man who, quite frankly, I believe stole possibly millions of dollars from me. No offense to him. No offense. The guy probably stole a couple million from me.
Wow.
A couple million, I would say.
I'm hopeful that that this means that I don't have to ever read the Axios format ever again.
Oh my God, the Axios. Well, you know what? You know what? I'm pretty sure that Stephen Totilo had his own misgivings about the Axios format.
He did. I had a conversation with him because
I hated
it so much.
Pretty sure he would. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy who's all about editing and having, you know, a story that's properly structured and whatnot. But not that far. You know, he's not a. Let's just give him the bullet points. You know, you got to have the vegetables in there with the meat and potatoes, right? It's like the Axios format isn't even meat. It's just all potatoes, right? It's potato journalism.
Yeah. It's really, really, really hard to read. It's like it takes a sensible paragraph and breaks it up into things that make me feel like I don't understand how to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's supposed to be easier for people, but it's like, I just tell me what it is. But they're like, what's the cut? What's the zazz?
Yeah.
It's like, man, I don't know.
Oh, okay. I know what you're
That's
talking
good.
About.
Yeah, it's zazz. They should have more zazz.
Yeah. It's, I'm going
to... only independent to put more zazz in.
Anybody got to do that bathroom
I'm
going to
fill a toilet,
water?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Mr. Thirsty needs a drink. I'll be right back.
I hate it so much when you do that.
Mr. Thirsty needs a drink.
God.
Man, I did a joke in Milwaukee. I was like, does anybody have one of those toilets tells you when you need to take a dump? And then, you know, dead silence. I'm like, it's just, you're trying to go to bed and it just starts saying, me hungry. And you're hearing it through the wall.
Oh, no.
It was pretty good. People liked it. I'll be right back. I'm going to the bathroom. Oh, it seems like Mimsy's back now. So the dogs will cease their barking. I'll be right back.
I remembered another little emergent thing. It's a very mild one, but I really had a good time with it because it was sometimes the subtlest things are the most amusing to me anyway. It was in Yakuza 0. You can carry stuff around, of course, when you're in the...
Sorry, my dog started yelling. I had to get out of there.
That's okay. You can carry things around when you're in the dungeon kind of places, like when you're having to go through the Millennium Tower or whatever. And I always carry something with me in case I need to hit a big guy. And I was carrying this giant potted plant that is as tall as Kiryu. Mm-hmm. And I carried it into a cutscene, and then he drops it. He just thonks it next to himself because he's not supposed to be carrying anything. And so then there's a dramatic cutscene where they're doing these camera angles and stuff, and there's just this big foliage right next to Kiryu's face while he's talking, and he's like, "No, I can't do that." And he's like good. Half obscured by a tree. I love that stuff. It's subtle, but I like it.
Yeah, some of that stuff's pretty good. You still haven't played Red Dead Redemption 2, right?
No, not yet. I will do it.
I'm telling you. You're gonna like that one probably.
There's probably.
I'm gonna lead you into it possibly years in advance here by telling you, it is pretty slow compared to the first one. Just don't play the first one immediately before. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
It's slow. It's quote unquote thoughtful. It's somewhat glacial. People criticized it for being quite glacial. But if you are, for example, an enjoyer of Final Fantasy 15. You're going to lose every single marble you've ever owned, probably, playing Red Dead Redemption 2, which is maybe the most hangoutable video game of all time. And that includes every, Animal Crossing or games that are about hanging out. Red Dead Redemption 2 is chill as heck if you're up for it.
Yeah.
Like,
I just need my horse to be invincible, I think, is one of the issues.
Oh, because you don't want your horse to die?
That's right.
Oh, well, you know what? It's actually harder to kill your horse in Red Dead Redemption 2 than it is in Red Dead Redemption 1, where you can just shoot your own horse and skin its carcass. You can't do that in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Because I remember I stopped playing Red Dead Redemption 1 for a while because there was a known bug where if you hitched your horse at this one particular post at a particular time, then it would disappear forever.
Oh,
and,
yeah, that's gross.
And I had like done that and saved after it without realizing. And
anyway, in terms of emergent stuff, dude, like you can make your guy real skinny. You can make your guy real fat. You can make your guy grow a real weird, gross, giant, nasty beard, really long hair.
Oh, hell yeah.
You can get your facial hair styled like however you want. They have like 100 extremely period authentic accurate facial hair styles you can do. You can buy clothes that's based all on just kind of real clothing available at the turn of the 20th century.
I can look like Val Kilmer's Doc Holliday.
Yeah, I dressed my guy up as old, dirty Santa Claus who was dressed like who was wearing yellow and blue instead of red and white, and he just looked completely insane. But he also looked accurate and authentic and like a real guy. So it was this completely bizarre collision of emergence and also accuracy somehow. It was very sublime in a way that I think all open world games like wish they could do.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it's a real good one. The more I look back on it, the more I'm just like, man, what a game that was, dude.
So I left my water in the other room. I'm gonna go get it. BRB.
I left my water. Somebody at the door again. Who is it, Bib? Mimsy's coming back at 1, everybody. So that's a joke about how it's 3 p.m. and she's still not back. She left at 11. She said, "I'll probably be back at 1, maybe a little later," is what she said. And I'm like, okay.
She meant 1 Pacific time.
Yeah, something like that. That's probably it. Now, she's not on no California time yet.
I just went out there and the new dog, she likes these tiny little tennis balls, and she was just surrounded by 3 of them staring at me like, you gotta play with one of these. You gotta throw one of these for me. I got 3 here.
We all got our waters and
stuff.
Okay,
I'm ready.
I got a Coke, god darn it, because I'm an idiot.
All right. Welcome back.
It's like Dark Souls water.
Frank, I've really, really been enjoying my little daily newsletter treats.
Your little treats.
Yeah. I'm gonna
the holiday calendar.
Yeah. Like, I am genuinely bummed about December 26th coming up because I'm going to stop getting those emails.
Well, Lucy has put it upon herself to help us do that more often. So I've been cursed as a content creator.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're too good at it, so you need to do more.
Did you somehow get absorbed into the greater Insert Credit universe?
I volunteered, if anything.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So
it's not even if anything. She literally just came to me and said, I would like to volunteer. And I said, okay.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Welcome to
the family.
Well,
we're still working on the part where I don't trust anyone. So we haven't crossed that bridge yet.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
So this podcast is really make or break for me.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, man. Yeah, Timmy got a big gulp.
All right.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is a 24 ounce cup. It's not that big. A big gulp is 32 ounces. Okay.
Okay, you got a medium gulp.
A double gulp is 64 ounces, which is basically 2 liters.
A double is bigger than big?
Yeah, yeah, because there's gulp, which is just a drink.
Yeah.
Because that's what 7-Eleven called drinks in the 70s. You would go to 7-Eleven to get a gulp of Coke.
That's crazy.
And then the big gulp was the bigger cup. But then during the great American beverage inflation situation that occurred over the course of the late 80s through the 90s, which continues today.
It was discovered that big was not enough gulp.
Big wasn't enough, yeah. So they invented the double gulp, which is, I believe, as a 7-Eleven beverageologist, I believe that is the biggest drink at 7-Eleven. This is a regular baseball stadium Coke cup. And guess what's in it? You can see perhaps... It's good old water.
Good old American water.
Because drinking water out of a big cup is just it's the connoisseur's water bottle. Okay,
it's the people, middle finger to the man.
If you're drinking out of a water bottle with a cap on it, especially one of those, even one of those wide mouth ones with the cap, you're just showing that you're afraid, right? And as I have tens of thousands of dollars of sensitive electronics always at arm's length away given the size of the apartment.
You gotta live on the edge.
It is the ultimate gamble to have a huge cup of water like this because I got insurance, right?
And I do I'm spilling my stuff all over the place. It's one of my hobbies.
I ain't busted nothing yet, so I don't know what happened.
I have spilled on it, though.
Yeah, I ain't busted. I ain't spilt on or nothing.
I'm not busting it.
Tonight, I'm going to be spilling some water on this dog right here, if you know what I mean, because she needs a bath.
Oh, okay. I do now.
I did not know what that meant.
So you gotta pee on the dog.
Thank you for
clarifying. I was hoping I knew what you meant.
I said spilling some water. Okay, so when you get a dog, a little dog that weighs 5 pounds in the bathtub, you have to have a cup of water to like gently pour over it.
You can wash that dog in the sink, probably.
I do every once in a while because she's a baby and she's got lots of diarrhea if that's information you needed to know and she's that's a Pomeranian
crazy. Gets caught in that fur, huh?
People who know about baby Pomeranians know that baby Pomeranians have basically cotton candy fur. Not unlike the connoisseur's Pomeranian, which has the adult Pomeranian has the springy bristly fur. Which I like to pronounce bristly so that somebody gets mad at me in the Twitch chat. He has very bristly fur, but she's got the baby fur and therefore requires a lot of she's gotten real good at standing in the bathroom sink. So
nice.
But tonight, it's all about the big old bath.
Okay.
She's fall asleep. Okay, I'm ready. She fell asleep on me.
We were going a bit long, so I didn't get into it. But that Drive to Survive show is something I almost wanted to put into recommendations because
I like that show.
It's good, and I think it also does a good job for people that it's a difficult thing to bring up, but for people that quote don't like sports, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's a good way to introduce someone to understanding why people like sports, I think.
Netflix has a similarly structured documentary now about tennis.
Ooh.
That I don't think is as good.
But it
should be. I really, really feel like this all comes down to F1 being a corporation and an organization and having their full control over everything. Like I have the F1 app. and I watch all the races and the qualifiers. You really can just choose whose camera you want to watch the race from.
Yeah, that's
you
wild.
Can turn the commentators off and watch the whole race from the perspective of Max Verstappen, and it looks like you're playing Mario Kart on Super Nintendo 50cc, you know, because there's nobody.
And yeah, there's just, nobody out there. It's just him in front.
That goddamn, I hate that guy. I don't like him either.
And you know who I'd,
he recently spoke out. He was like, I don't want to go to these stupid parties in Las Vegas. He said he hated Las Vegas. He went there and he's like, I hate this place. I hate all these parties. And I was like, man, he said something relatable. And finally his fans are getting mad at him.
I have a particular problem with that because people say that they hate Las Vegas and they mean the strip.
We do not need to expect a guy who travels all year to look for the cool stuff to do in Las Vegas. He was hating the experience that he was forced to have by his employer in Las Vegas.
That wasn't directly Verstappen. That came up earlier in my week as well with someone saying they hated Las Vegas, but they don't know anything about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Verstappen was saying he hated
I wouldn't expect him to know about
it. He had to go to all these parties, and he said that they're the worst parties he's ever been to, which I found very vindicating because the American corporate parties are the worst.
Really, who I don't like is the Red Bull boss.
Oh man, Christian Horner.
Christian Horner. He's a bad guy.
He's like literally married to a Spice Girl.
Yeah,
it's weird. Oh. That's weird.
Oh, is that why Jerry Halliwell is in?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Is in? Okay. Wait. Is in what? What were you gonna say?
She's in
Drive to Survive.
No, she's in a film though. I thought, like she's in Gran Turismo or something.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
That would explain it too. Yeah.
Yeah, because she is, Christian Horner's her husband, and he's the CEO of the Red Bull Racing team.
He's definitely the villain, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, he's a very James Bond villain-like actual human. Yeah, whenever somebody says, Elon Musk is like a James Bond villain, I take like psychic damage, because it's clearly Christian Horner.
Yeah, Christian Horner is like...
Well, James Bond has multiple villains.
Smarter and more manipulative.
No, they're not all, none of them are like Elon Musk. Not even Jonathan Pryce from Tomorrow Never Dies is what am I talking about? anyway, I like that Drive to Survive show. Yeah. I feel like there should be a show like that for basketball or football.
Me too. That would help.
But there can't be because there's too many.
Too many players.
I feel like I should be able to launch a streaming app and just choose a basketball game from 1984 and watch it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I live in the world of archives, and that will never be profitable. Do you understand how many games we're talking about? No.
That's what I'm saying, Frank. But in a world where 0.1% of the people own 99% of the money, why can't
they? If one of them really, really liked basketball,
why can't they just pony up a little bit and let that happen? Yeah. It would be so nice.
Frank, what's new in Batman with you?
Well, all right. So I have been reading Batman chronologically, Batman and tech, as it turns out they call it. Right?
I always tell people not to do that. But
well, I'm just trying to play your game here. But maybe I'm not with the times here. You know, I'm reading the letter columns. They call it tech.
Oh, the letter columns are great. No. Call it tech is great. I tell people not to read Batman chronologically.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I've read the greatest hits.
And, yeah.
Well, what I was looking for was long runs by singular writers. So I did who took over late 80s, I forget, and ran it for like 6 years.
We're talking about, would that be Doug Munch? Doug Mensch?
Yeah. Well, sorry. He was... I meant late 70s. So the guy before him and then him.
Yeah.
Is what I've been reading.
Denny O'Neill's
or Jerry Conway?
Jerry Conway. Yeah. He was in that like Black Spider period.
Yeah. So I did. That's right. So I started with just Jerry Conway's run because I'm just like, I want to know what it's like when the high that I'm always chasing is Claremont X-Men. Like, what if someone shock could do character development because they let him go? Right. So I wanted to know if anyone did that with Batman. The answer is not really, sort of. But anyway, I read those two runs and I'm still going, at least for now. So we are just post-crisis.
Okay.
Let's talk about Jason Todd for a second.
Oh, here, baby, okay? Let's talk about Jason Todd. Let's talk about some post-crisis. My favorite Robin.
Okay. So post-crisis Jason Todd.
Yes.
Well, totally first of
different
all,
character from pre-crisis.
The totally different character because pre-crisis Jason Todd, his parents were eaten by a crocodile owned by Killer Crocodile.
Correct, yes.
Killer Crocodile fed the Flying Todds. Not the Flying Graysons, the Flying Todds, the acrobat right. parents of that died tragically and created a Robin. They were fed to a crocodile owned by Killer Crocodile. Killer Correct. Crocodile fed the Flying Todds to a crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing to know about pre-crisis Jason Todd, other than he had red hair and it seems like Batman made him dye it.
That is the other thing about pre-crisis Jason, yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about the origins of Batman employing Jason Todd post crisis. Okay, so here are the events as I understand it. Okay, so Batman makes him a Robin, the first one. Batman loves him a Robin, right? He loves him a Dick Grayson, and they work together for something like 5 or 6 years. I don't remember the canon, but they work for 5 or 6 years. And during an encounter with the Joker kind of grazes his shoulder with a bullet.
Yeah, it's very quick.
It's very quick. It's not a big deal. He recovers pretty quickly. But Batman goes, "Oh my God, it's irresponsible for me to have a Robin. Like I can't. You're no longer Robin because I feel guilt because it's really irresponsible for me to have a Robin because you might get hurt like this. So you're fired, right?"
From what I understand, this is the kind of thing that Bruce and Dick did a lot. And the point of this is that this time it's Dick who goes, "Fine, I'll call your bluff. I'm leaving."
Okay, that's not how it reads in these comics.
That's fair. I mean, to be fair, I think you also have to be reading Teen Titans, where he's kind of becoming Nightwing at the time.
Which I wasn't, but in the Batman comics, he's like really upset and he's like, "Fine, I'll go." So Batman goes and does his own thing. Like, seems like maybe a couple weeks later, maybe two or 3 weeks later.
Sure.
He's in Crime Alley doing, you know, his, well, first of all, it's very funny. He goes to Crime Alley every year on the same date when his parents died. And everyone in Crime Alley knows that Batman comes to Crime Alley every year.
This is a Denny O'Neill thing.
Yeah, which is great. Like, everyone's like, "Oh, we're not going to do crimes in Crime Alley."
This one night a year Batman comes.
Batman's just here for some reason. We haven't put it together. We haven't figured out the significance of this date.
Right. No, I love that.
And, you know, long story short, this kid, Jason Todd, steals his tires, right? Mm-hmm. It's a famous origin story. And Batman puts him in a boys' school, which turns out to be a very bad boys' school. It's a crime school. Yeah. But that doesn't matter. The next day he's like, "I'm going to go to Crime Alley the day after. They're not going to expect me." And he gets in a fight and, he mostly takes him down, but someone kind of whiffs the back of his head a little bit, right? Like someone hits him in the back of the head during a fight. He's fine. He recovers just fine.
Yeah.
The next panel, maybe two or three panels, I don't know. He has a thought bubble that's like, "Wow, if I had had a Robin, I wouldn't have gotten hit in the back of the head."
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to the next day, maybe that night, Jason Todd helps him with some people that he also wants revenge on. And then he puts him in his car and he's like, "You're my son now. You're Robin."
Well, he can't trust him to the system. He tried once and it was failure. So
the
only other option is to take him in himself.
So Batman's thought process is, well, and okay, I want to say, not only did he say it's irresponsible to have a Robin, he goes and talks to Commissioner Gordon, and Gordon's like, "I didn't want to say anything, but it was really kind of messed up that you like dragged this kid along in your weird war, and good on you for not having a Robin anymore. It's really irresponsible." And then it's like, you know, a few days later, he goes, "Oh man, that guy hit the back of my head." And then he goes, "Hey, random kid I met yesterday, you're homeless. No one knows where your parents are. You're my son.
You can
now
watch my back.
You're my Robin because I need one because the back of my head hurts."
Right.
And that is how we get Jason Todd as Robin.
I mean, I think it's kind of the back of the head thing is him thinking, "Oh, if I had a Robin, then maybe I'd be safe. Maybe we could watch each other's backs." And he wasn't necessarily that he wanted another Robin. It was that he took in this kid and Jason really, really wanted to be Robin. And Batman was amenable because
that is not what happened at first.
No, not no. But like
this kid didn't steal his tires and get confronted and go, "Oh, I want to be Robin."
It takes a while for Batman to accept Jason as Robin. He's like in the bat cave wanting to be like, hey, put me out in the field. And Batman's like, no.
Oh, you were thinking of pre-crisis, Jason? Because here in post-crisis, it is the next issue. Okay. It says 6 months later, and he's
right. Yeah, well, there he goes.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, you're right. I am misremembering.
Meanwhile, because I'm reading him chronologically.
That's true.
I think it's 2 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Todd gets shot.
Yeah, he does.
In Detective Comics.
Yes, and he gets shot by like the Mad Hatter.
He gets shot by the Mad Hatter.
Not even like the real Mad Hatter. Like a fake Jervis. Other Mad Hatter.
Oh, is that not Jervis?
No, it's a different Mad Hatter. One who's obsessed with hats, but doesn't have the Wonderland thing.
Oh, that's not Jervis. Okay.
No.
Well, he gets shot by the friggin' Mad Hatter. Yeah.
Not even
And
the
Batman's just like, oh, make him feel better, Leslie. Yeah. And then she heals him. And he's like, cool, you're still Robin.
Yeah, that doesn't do it.
No.
Well, you know, the reason Jason Todd exists is because there was this dispute between Marv Wolfman and the Bat editorial where like they're like, Robin needs to be with Batman. He can't be with the Teen Titans. He can't be doing both at the same time. Both want to do different. So he's like, fine, I'll make Dick Grayson into a different guy. You pick your own Robin. So they're like, okay, well, we'll just make a clone of Robin for.
Yeah.
And that's why Jason Todd is the exact same origin, you know. Once they were rebooting the universe, they were like, you know, this is kind of goofy.
Well, it's not the exact same because the Flying Graysons weren't fed to killer crocodiles.
Killer crocodiles. No, there's a different, but like this kid of circus acrobats. So they did kind of, I think the reason for that truncated timeline is that they had to very quickly tell you, oh, this is his real origin, and then get him back in the field.
Right, and he was running around months before that.
Yeah, you were supposed to kind of mentally backload that back and forth. The first year of Batman stories after Crisis on Infinite Earths are kind of in this nebulous period where, like, you're not really totally 100% sure what the deal with Batman's.
Yeah.
Because Superman and Wonder Woman's origins were being completely refreshed, but Batman's weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Man of Steel and then whatever was going on. Yeah. 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 And
Wonder Woman.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, it doesn't narratively make 100% a lot of sense when you read it chronologically, but like as someone who's been presumably reading Batman for a long time, you backload, oh, this is what Robin steals now.
Yeah, you just kind of, you retcon the origin and everything else is the same, which is, Batman tradition, right? It's like every time there's a reset, it's like, it's kind of nebulous what parts are in and what parts are out. I get that. I just don't get Batman's immediate turnaround. Immediate
jump to, you can be right.
He actually has another conversation with Commissioner Gordon, too, where he's like, dude, you told me you weren't going to run around with little kids in underwear anymore. And he's like, his response is, Jason's older than both of us. That was his actual
he's
response.
He's an old soul. He's very mature for his
age. It is a pedophile's response.
Oh, and, Lord, it is uncomfortable. Yeah.
Wortham was right. That's the ending of this is
Wortham was right. Man, I really do like Jason Todd as a character, but like, it's a tough one there.
So the only other Jason Todd stuff I've really, really read is like, I've tried to see what's going on lately. It's awful, as you probably know, but but Batman in recent months has decided to break Jason Todd's brain for his own protection.
To explain this, I'm going to need to talk about 20 years of Batman comics. Did you read, you read Grant Morrison's Batman, right?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. So a big part of Batman RIP is that Batman created this backup personality, the Batman of Zur-En-Arr, who is like this fanatical thing that's Batman all the time.
And like every time Grant Morrison has a fun idea that he explores to its conclusion, someone 10 years later has to go, what if there was more? What if we explained it more?
Well, the nature of Batman is that Batman stories go on forever. So, and that itself was the end of Morrison's Batman. There is no end to this stuff. So I don't think that's necessarily outside the spirit of what Morrison was doing.
But I'm kind of thinking more about like his X-Men stuff where he's like, oh, there's a school full of mutant kids. A bunch of them are weird. And I don't know, one of them's like a skeleton and slime. And everyone's like, well, what's his origin? You know?
So no,
but the new idea.
The idea in current Batman comics is that this backup personality Batman created in his head is obviously a crazy idea. And it's just kind of taking over his regular thought process. So this backup right. personality he built himself is like turning him into this more fanatical, more unreasonable, just like cartoon of a Batman. And because he's kind of losing his grip on reality, he's just lashing out at everybody who's like trying to help him or just even like steps a toe out of line the other way. And the big complaint from the fandom is like, that's not what Batman would do. And that's the point. He's not acting like Batman would. He has a problem. So the latest Batman arc is him like kind of sequestering himself because he realizes he's a danger to everyone around him, especially after what he did to Jason. So there's like a story happening here.
Yeah, it's just not a very good one.
All right, if you say so, man. But I don't think it's necessarily any better or worse than any other Batman story.
What's going to happen to conclude the current story is that someone's going to whiff the back of his head. And he'll be like, wow, I shouldn't push everyone out of my life.
I guess I do need a Robin.
Who's going to cover my rear? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the youngest one? Oh, Damian. And Damian's on my side right now. Damian's on currently my side. In continuity, I think.
Yeah. No, that's right.
In the spinoff comic that's also not very good.
In the current Batman and Robin run where he's hanging out with Damian, right now they're fighting a villain named Shush, who's like a little girl Hush.
Oh, my God.
It's not, that's not
just. Remember that story you really liked?
Yeah. Remember how it got four sequels? Here's another one. Oh my God. Batman.
Yeah. Call it Batman the Long Christmas.
Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale put out another Long Halloween comic, like literally months before Tim Sale died. Like they did like a one issue special.
Yeah, I'm not going to read that.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
I might. I don't know. So I'm reading all kinds of bad trash right now.
Oh, man. I really,
one thing I will say as I'm exiting out of here, there's a brief time post-crisis where Alan Davis is drawing Detective Comics and it's delightful.
Yes, Alan Davis's art is very, very good. Right?
Yeah, he draws a really fun little kid, Robin. He's very expressive. Yeah. They fight on like giant pool tables and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like he's having a good time with his comics, as one should. Okay, that's it. I just wanted to discuss post-crisis.
Of course, Jason anytime Todd. You want to talk about Batman stuff in general, I'm absolutely 100% down.
Yeah, and he's about to die is what I'm reading now. So
Okay. Oh, so you've been through the Mike W. Barr stuff already.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
I like how Jason looks like a little monkey.
That's okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. But I just did like, 10 Nights of the Beast or whatever. It's like,
The whole KG Beast thing with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah. you didn't like Jason Todd paragliding to kick KG Beast in the air to save the life of our worst president?
I mean, I kind of did. That was a little bit.
Yeah.
But the detective stuff going on right now is really bad.
No. Yeah, exactly.
It's not very good. No Alan Davis. Okay, I got to eat lunch. But
later.
Yeah. All right, bye.
Bye.